Sounds made by gorillas, elephants, tree frogs, whales, and snapping shrimp are music to the ears of Bernie Krause. Krause is a composer who also records natural sound environments. His work has been used in museum exhibits, and a series of his environmental field recordings have been released by the Nature Company. One of his new sound recordings was made in the Amazon rainforest. It's called Tropical Jungle.
At this particular point in the tape, Tropical Jungle, you hear a group of parrots flying overhead. These are I was recording one morning somewhere in the Amazon, and got a chance to get this early morning habitat ambience, which is really called the dawn chorus. And all of a sudden, this whole flock of parrots just took off and began to fly overhead.
How do you mic parrots that are flying overhead?
Oh, we put little lavaliers around there. No. actually, I'm using a new system called an MS system. It's a new pair of microphones, or a configuration of microphones. It's two mics that have different patterns. One's a figure eight pattern and one's a cardioid pattern, and we mount them piggyback, one on top of the other, and just sort of aim them in the direction of the sounds that we want to get. And we get a really wonderful stereo result when we go into the studio to actually mix the sounds.
Have you ever had an animal run off with a microphone?
Well, almost. The reason that I mounted after a time when I was working in Rwanda in the late Diane Fossey's camp at Karasoki, I found myself having to mount the microphones and strap them to my head because the gorillas were coming up and playing with the equipment and trying to wrest it from my grip. And one time when one creature couldn't do it, it actually picked me up and threw me, and I was airborne halfway to London, first class Gorilla Airlines there.
Did you get that on tape?
Oh, yeah, it's on tape. It's none of the tape you've got, but
yeah,
it's on tape.
Right.
you couldn't air that expletive, I don't think.
So when you were around the gorillas in Rwanda, you had a microphone strapped to the top of your head.
Yes, that's
and
exactly why.
How would you approach the gorillas?
Oh, we were able to get right in the middle of them. I was actually able to sleep in the middle of the troop with them when they bedded down during the day, which they often do around noontime. For their little hour-long siesta.
When you're taping in a forest or in a jungle, what do you do with the sounds that you don't really want the ear to focus on? For instance, there's so many bugs flying around, even mosquitoes, that you must have a lot of buzzing over half the tape that you bring back.
That's one of the problems. But we use those. We find a way to use that material. I would hope to be able to get that. Insects are a very important part of the habitat ambience that we're recording. And without that bed of sound, we can't lay the other sounds over it effectively because it doesn't give you a sense of presence place. It really is those insect sounds that give you that sense of place. But the problem of recording those without human noise is becoming really unbelievably difficult.
What kind of, do you actually hear chainsaws cutting down the jungle in South America when you're there?
From 20 miles away. To give you an example, you can actually hear it. It carries 20 miles to the forest. You also hear the planes and helicopters that are bringing in the crews to cut down the forest. 12 years ago or so, I always keep a journal of my work. 12 years ago or so, I could record in the rainforests or anywhere in the world practically, and with 20 hours of recording, we could have maybe 15 minutes of usable material. Now it takes us 500 hours to get the same amount of material. It's really an incredible task.
Why are you doing these series of sound documentations, documenting the different environments around the world?
Well, Terry, they're all disappearing. The environments are disappearing. We're losing 100 acres a minute of rainforest now. I don't know if you know what that means, but it's enough rainforest equivalent to the size of the state of California every year. And I don't think we can do that very much longer without it having a profound effect on everything about us, our climate, our food supply, and so on. Why do I do it? I do it because with every 100 acres of rainforest that disappears every single minute, there's a habitat voice which is lost forever. And I just feel that I've got a mission, and I've just decided that that's what I want to do. I want to record this stuff. I want to get it archived. I do all my archiving at Cornell University at the Library of Natural Sounds. And I want to make sure that this material is saved in some form for whoever survives us, because I really think the crisis is that great.
And you're interested in getting the sound without pictures. Do you think that we hear more when there isn't a picture? You're just doing audio work here.
Yeah. There's no question about it. No picture can give us a sense of being in a place, a sense of presence. However, the sound, if it's right and if it's honest, can transport you to any place in the world, and you'll feel a sense of presence. One of the main reasons that we go on vacation is to get away from the urban centers, to get to the oceans, to get to the mountains or the deserts, because the sound is different. The sound gives us a sense of affinity to the earth again.
Although your mission is a serious one, you also like to have fun with the sounds that you bring back. You have a new record called Gorillas in the Mix, which mixes pop rhythm tracks with the sounds of animals and insects
and so on. That's not true, Terry. What I've done is all of the sounds, every single one of the sounds, including the rhythm tracks, are done with animals. What we've done is we've taken recordings of different animals that I've done over the past 20 years, and we divided them into sections of the orchestra. For instance, fish and certain marine mammals are best represented in the percussion area. Some animals are best represented in the brass section of an orchestra, like elephants, for instance. The elephant trumpets are absolutely the sounds of elephants. We haven't done any processing to them at all. We've taken a part of the walrus sound, and we've, by playing the keys on the keyboard, rapidly, we've made them sound like a steel drum, and that's a walrus sound.
A humpback whale, I think.
Yeah.
That was in the Sacramento River, and he had to be lured back into the ocean.
Yeah.
And I think the technique that was used was to use some of your recordings of whales. And explain how this worked.
Well, they weren't exactly my recordings. We tried many things. We tried to use killer whale sounds to make the animal do aversion behavior. In other words, move away from the sounds, and that didn't work. We tried a method of putting some metal pipes in the water and banging on them, trying to drive the animal or herd it back to the ocean, and that only partially worked. And then we got some information that there were a couple of students in Hawaii who had done some, who had actually recorded some humpback whales when they feed during the summertime in Alaska. Well, these sounds were sent to me, and a short 55-second sample of the sound. So I took the sounds And I processed the sounds in a sampling device, a digital sampling device, and changed it. I made 16 or 17 different kinds of changes in the quality of the sound itself, and made a new tape, 15 minutes or so long, that we then introduced in the water on Sunday, November 3rd, 1985.
And so the whale followed the sounds of the whales coming out of the speaker.
He followed our boat. He had his nose right in our wake for 50 miles.
Bernie Krause, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Terry.